Now, look, I'm going to be honest with you this week. I'm trying not to be all over the place today, but when you have a theme, a topic such as joy, I had a really hard time trying to make it all fit into something less than 8 hours, okay? So I promise you we'll be done by two. Because in prepping to speak on the joy of Advent, the joy of Christmas, and studying to share this morning about God's joy, I was like, man, that's awesome, and this is amazing, and that's so good, and I wanted to just write everything down and share everything with you, but don't worry, we won't. But we are going to look at one big theme of joy as we talk about Advent. And what I want to do is I want to begin our time this morning a little bit differently. I'm going to have up here in a minute Psalm 98 on the screen. And what I want you to do as a church, as we're talking about joy today, is when I say it's time, I want you to stand up and I want you to read loudly and strongly God's word together, this psalm that speaks of joy. And I'll help you get started, but as we get into it, I'm going to fade off, and I want your voices to be what fill this room as we read this psalm, Psalm 98, together. So would you stand with me here? And I'll start reading it, and you read with me. And then I'm going to back off, and you guys continue through these nine verses, okay? Ready? Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Amen? All right, have a seat there. Isaac Watts wrote the famous poem which became a carol called Joy to the World, and this was the source of this poem that he wrote. He did not intend to write this poem as a Christmas carol. He intended it to be an actual theological poem about Christ's first advent as well as his second advent. And if you know the verses of Joy to the World, it speaks not of just Christ's incarnation, but of his second coming as well. And indeed, we speak of, and we want to fill the room this morning with this idea of the joy of the Lord, the joy of Advent. In Advent week three, this week we're talking about joy. We have joy because we have a God who redeems. So let me ask you this morning, do you believe that God wants you to have joy? Do you believe that this morning? Now look, and if you're like, I think so, or if you're like, I'm not sure, does God care about me having joy? Then we have work to do, because if you know God, you know that God indeed intends for his people to have not just a little bit of joy, not just, you know, well, can I just have a little more joy today, but God expects his people and he desires that his people have a great amount of joy. Right? It's like Peter would write in his first epistle that believers would have joy unspeakable. Joy, so much joy, it's inexpressible. Joy inexpressible and full of glory. It is God's will for every single one of us to have this joy in our lives. Now, notice I didn't say God desires that we be happy. Right? There's a huge difference. There's a distinction between happiness and joy, because happiness is very circumstantial.
Happiness is a feeling that is usually attached to something or someone or some place, right? Like, I am very, I, if you know me, I love sports, I love football. When my Bears win once every few years, I'm happy, right? I'm happy when my team does well. I don't find my joy, thankfully, in the teams that I follow. I don't want to find my joy in those things that are fleeting or honestly inconsequential. So it's one thing to have happiness in those transient things, those materialistic, those temporary things, but our joy, and the Bible speaks of joy throughout Scripture, our joy is so much, much more. Now, I'm not saying that, you're to have your best life now, so to speak. I'm talking about joy. Just kind of rapid fire here. Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with joy. Philippians 4, 4. I love that verse because Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And he's like, and in case you didn't hear me, in case you didn't get it the first time, he goes, again I say, rejoice. He repeats himself intentionally to get attention there. James 1, 2. He says, count it all joy. Galatians 5, 22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Nehemiah 8, 10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, did God just say, hey, I'm going to save you and then I'm going to leave you there to figure it out on your own and I'm going to hope you can stumble your way into joy? Not by any means. God has actually instructed in Scripture and he's given us the pathway that we may know his joy. You know, there are few things, honestly, sadder than a Christian who lacks joy. And look, we all know that brother, we all know that sister that's a little bit of an Eeyore, right? And look, if you're here this morning, I'm not picking on you. I'm not picking on you if you're kind of that Eeyore, but what I'm saying is God wants you to have joy, all of us. And there's sometimes you bump up against somebody and they kind of spill a little bit of that Eeyore on you and you rub up against that and you feel that. And there are few things sweeter than a Christian, than a son or daughter of Christ who is full of joy. And that joy can rub off on you some. C.S. Lewis wrote about joy. He said, no soul that seriously and constantly desires joy will ever miss it. Those who seek it find it. Those who knock, it is opened. And there's a lot of reasons for us today to have joy. But we're going to look at one main thing today. Why can we have joy? We can have joy because God has redeemed us. And that is that message at Advent in this time of year, redeemed us. What does it mean to redeem something? Well, the word redeem, and I have it up here, it says it means to buy, or it means to purchase, or it means to ransom. In all three of these terms, all three of these ideas, they apply if you are in Jesus Christ this morning. If you are in Jesus, you have been redeemed. And you can have joy no matter what else, and this is what the big picture this morning is, no matter what else is going on. No matter what else is going on regarding relationships, regarding health, regarding financial situation, regarding all those things which can affect our happiness for sure. And some of those things, there's joy in some of those things. But the joy in his redemption, which is your eternity, right? That's the big theme, that you can have that joy and we should have that joy because God has redeemed us. So all three ideas, to buy, to purchase, to ransom. That's throughout Scripture. In the New Testament, that term, redeem, that term is usually in reference to purchasing a slave's freedom. That's what the term means in the New Testament. The application of this term to Christ's death on the cross is quite telling. See, look, if we're redeemed, then our prior condition to being redeemed was one of slavery. See, we were in bondage to sin. We are in bondage to the law. We are in bondage to our own will, our own desires, and God has purchased our freedom. That's why we have joy. We're no longer in bondage to sin or to the law. You know how when you belong to a certain group and there can be, or a club, if you will, there are certain benefits to that, right? Like if you're a member of Costco, you get $1.50 hot dogs. and you get to buy absolutely giant, you know, packs of toilet paper, and you get samples, right? The best benefit of Costco is you don't have to shop at Walmart. That's the best part of Costco. How many of you remember AAA memberships? Remember AAA? Everybody would have, like, when I was a kid, I remember when I got my license, and one of the first things we did was in England was sign up for AAA. Because back in the olden days, we had these things called maps. Okay, the kids are like, what are these maps? I've seen them in museums before, right? And the best part was the map would be like this big, and once you unfolded it, it was never back to that big again, okay? And I remember going on our honeymoon and going to AAA, and we got these things called triptychs from AAA, which was like a little spiral-bound map you could go through. How many of you remember those things, right? You're like, and no one under like 30 here is raising their hand, so thank you for making me feel old. That's all right, though. But AAA had benefits to being a part of it. You know, we think about things like maybe you have a credit card that gives you certain benefits, or there's all kinds of things, right? Maybe you got a timeshare, whatever. How often do people, though, find out later that all along they had certain benefits that were theirs that they didn't even know about? I've had that happen several times in life. Like, oh, I had that perk, that benefit, that privilege. I had no idea. See, the benefits of redemption, of being redeemed, listen to this. It includes eternal life. That in and of itself, we should have joy because we have been given eternal life. But it doesn't end there, as we would say. But wait, there's more, right? Forgiveness of sins, righteousness, freedom from the law's curse. Because of our redemption, we have adoption into God's family. We have deliverance from sin's bondage. We have peace with God. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So to be redeemed then is to be forgiven, holy, justified, free, adopted, and reconciled. These are all the things that are given to us through our redemption. So therefore, we should have this joy. One of the other definitions for redemption is this idea of ransom. Ransom. And ransom carries a similar theme to it. See, Jesus paid the price for our release from sin and its punishment. We saw a picture this week of ransom as two prisoners were traded for one another, and they were ransomed in a sense. Scripture is quite clear that redemption is only possible through the exchange of Christ's blood, his death, his sacrifice. Romans 3:24, and I have this up here for you on the screen. It says, we are justified by his grace as a gift. I love when in Romans that phrase, that our salvation, our redemption, it's a gift, right? God gave it to us. We didn't earn it. We can't earn it. We can't purchase it. It can only be given and received. It's a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Last week we read from Luke 2, and again the Wolins read from Luke 2 this morning, and it looked at the announcement of the angel, and the angel said, behold, I bring you good news of great joy, because the Savior had come to redeem us. And what I'm trying to do this morning as we get into this is help you connect your joy to the redemption that is in Jesus, our Messiah. Because we have a history of forgetting, don't we? We have a history of forgetting. We have a history of rebelling, of rejecting, of chasing after little g gods and idols. We have all this baggage, if you will. We turn away from God, but yet he pursues us so he can redeem us for his glory. It brings God glory that he redeemed us this morning and he redeemed you. He pursues us. See, Christmas is about the glory of God. We talk about that theme often at this time of year, the glory of God. Glory to God in the highest. And here's the thing, we have no greater joy as God's people than when God is most glorified. And I think it's just, honestly, I think it's really cool that when God receives glory in our lives, that we receive joy in Him. Look, I have this up on the screen for you here. When we find our greatest joy in God, well, then God receives the greatest glory in us. And I look at that thing, and I just honestly, I take that idea and I overlay it on my life. And I think about in my life, man, how much of my time, my energy, my resources, how much am I putting into those things that just don't bring that? How much am I hitching my wagon, if you will, to stuff that just doesn't matter? Not that those things are bad in and of themselves, but when we take things that were never intended to bring us true joy and we hitch our wagons to that, they eventually do what? They let us down. They fail us. And those things that we've made idols will always disappoint because they don't bring lasting joy. And so then we go from worshiping those idols to then we go to resenting those things. And so that's the danger of putting your joy in a person other than Jesus Christ. If you say, I love that person because they bring me joy, then what happens when they don't bring you joy? Right? Because only God is the only thing. Jesus is the only person that can 100% of the time follow through on that promise to bring you joy. Right? If you're married this morning, you know that you love your spouse and you want to bring them joy, but you're human, so you mess up. And sometimes it's like, well, I need joy this morning. And your spouse is like, well, I need joy this morning. And then we got a problem. Because we both are like, you give the joy this morning. No, you give joy. And it's like, Jesus is always going to give that to us. And He receives His greatest glory when we find our greatest joy in Him. And we have joy at Advent, at this beautiful time of year, because of His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection, His redemption. That is a word for us that is just should be something that when we hear it, it's a beautiful word. It should stir up our emotions for Him, that He redeemed us. And here's the thing, everybody. Our God redeemed us because He chose to redeem us. He chose to redeem us, not because of us, but because of Him. See, God has been sovereignly placing His grace and redemption on people from the beginning of creation, hasn't He? When He chose a people in the Old Testament for Himself to redeem, listen to what He said. I'm going to read to you from Deuteronomy 7. All right, it's recorded. It says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His treasured possession." If you know Him this morning, it's because He chose you and you are to be His treasured possession. "But out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, it was not because you were more in number or mighty than any other people that the Lord set His love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples." And then verse 8 says, but because the Lord loves you, and is keeping the oath He swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery. Right? He chose, in the Old Testament, He chose Israel. He's chosen a people to His sake, to His name, to His glory. I have in my office a folder full of stories of people's testimonies that we've been collecting for membership. And every one of those stories is an absolute miracle because it's a story of redemption. There is no story of redemption that's not a miracle in and of itself. There are so many things about church that I love and that I think are cool when it comes to church. And to be honest with you, one of those things is that we are as a church, is right now in this room, we're like this mosaic. We're like a quilt. We're a collection of God's stories of redemption and joy. He redeems us. We have joy because He wants us in spite of ourselves. Advent and joy, this was prophesied way back through the Old Covenant. I have for you on the screen Isaiah 59, some verses from Isaiah 59. This is that idea of we rebel, we reject, we don't seek him. We weren't born with a heart that desires him, but he loves us enough to break through and redeem. Look what it says. Listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor is his ear too deaf to hear you call. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. Verse 12. For our sins are piled up before God and testify against us. Do you see the picture that the prophet Isaiah is painting? So far, no joy, just the bad news. Yes, we know what sinners we are. Verse 13, we know we have rebelled and denied the Lord. We have turned our backs on our God. We know how unfair and oppressive we have been, carefully planning our deceitful lies. But here we go, verse 20. But the what? The Redeemer. Advent is about the Redeemer. The Redeemer will come to Jerusalem to buy back those in Israel who have turned from their sins, says the Lord. Speaking of repentance there and faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 21, and this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. Ready? My spirit will not leave them. Right? And we see that spoken throughout the new covenant regarding the sealing of his redemption. By the Holy Spirit, we are sealed until the day of redemption. So the Redeemer will come, right? My spirit will not leave them, verse 21, and neither will these words I have given you. They will be on your lips and on the lips of your children and your children's children forever. I, the Lord, have spoken. Right? When we speak of, we lit this candle, and the Wallens did a great job this morning reading and talking about joy. I don't want joy just to be this ethereal concept that you can describe. I want you to know and feel and possess that joy, not in a pick yourself up by your bootstraps and, oh, I'm going to put joy on. That's not his, that's you putting yourself in that. It is simply standing there and receiving by faith, yes, Lord, your joy. I want that joy. I know, I recognize what you have done by redeeming me. I am redeemed. I stand redeemed. You know him this morning. You stand redeemed. What does it mean that God has redeemed us? It means that he has bought us and he's made us his own. See, he chose you because in his will it would bring him glory. And it should bring you joy. See, we weren't a mistake. We weren't, you know, luck, so to speak. That it's not like, I remember, I think it was 1989, there was a guy in Pennsylvania that went to a garage sale, I believe, and he bought this painting. He didn't buy the painting for the painting, it was a horrible painting, but the painting had a beautiful frame on it, and he wanted the frame. So he took this frame, this picture home, and he got in his garage, and he started to disassemble it, and he realizes that the painting on it, there was something underneath. So as he pulled the painting off, there was a folded document in there, and he opened it up, and it was an original copy of the Declaration of Independence, an original copy, okay? Not a facsimile, not a copy of a copy, it was an original. They made like 30-something originals, and he, for $4, he paid $4 at this garage sale, and he had a copy, original, of the Declaration of Independence. That later sold for millions of dollars, right? He bought something having no idea of the treasure it would bring. Well, that's not how God sees us. See, God, when you got saved, you didn't like, God didn't say one day, boy, I'm really surprised how they turned out. Boy, I never expected to get such glory from them. No, God knew exactly in him who you could be, and that is why he redeemed you. Have you arrived at that point yet where you are perfectly bringing him glory? No, of course not, and we won't this side of heaven. But we sure on that path where through his work of sanctification, he redeemed us to sanctify us to every day, every month, every year, Every decade, our lives should hopefully, prayerfully, through it's his will, that we would more and more and more bring him glory. And the older you get and the more glory you give him, the more full of joy you will be. In Ezekiel 36, I hope you're tracking here. It says in Ezekiel 36, God would write, "Therefore, give the people of Israel this message from the sovereign Lord. Listen to this. I am bringing you back. They knew him and then they rejected him over and over. And God said, I'm bringing you back. Not because you deserve it. I am doing this to protect my holy name." Ezekiel 36, 22. "On which you brought shame while you were scattered amongst the nations. I will show you how holy my great name is, the name on which you brought shame. And when I reveal my holiness through you before their very eyes, says the sovereign Lord, the nations will know that I am the Lord." God saved you so others would know through your life and through your light and through your joy, they would know that he is the sovereign Lord. It brings joy that God is about the glory of his name, and nothing will stop that. So if my joy is tied to his name and his glory and his fame, I will have joy because God will be glorified. That passage would continue on to say this, "I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a new heart." And that's the thing this morning is like, God wants to take that heart of stone out of you, and sometimes you're like, I kind of want that. I kind of still want that. I don't want to be so vulnerable. I like to have some control in my life to where my joy is in my hands. What a false illusion that really is. Because when you think your joy is in your own hands, we're lousy gods, aren't we? I'm a lousy God, and so are you. So I need him to be and to give me that new heart and a new spirit for him. That's the miracle of salvation. And I know I keep saying, and I've said over the last few weeks, that your story, your testimony, is a miraculous story because you had a heart of stone, and he gave you a heart for him. Give you a heart for him and for his glory, to know him, to love him, to experience him, and find your greatest joy in him. So why do we have joy? How do we have joy? We know and worship and serve and love a God who redeems. And I hope you never look at that word redeem in the same way. And God redeems all kinds of things, doesn't he? We see that throughout Scripture. God redeems all kinds of things. But best of all, God redeems people. I want you to look at this verse speaking of redemption in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. So the Bible tells us, again, I'm talking about joy. So looking to Jesus. If you want joy, look to Jesus. That's simple, friends. Look to Jesus. So looking to Jesus, the founder, the perfecter of our faith. Who for the what, church? Who for the joy set before him. So Jesus, when he's on the cross, right, was that joyful what he went through? By no means. But he looked past it in a sense to the joy that was set before him. What was the joy that was set before Jesus? His people, you, I, his church. We are the joy that he was looking at down the road. It says on the cross, right, that he endured it, despising the shame. Now he's seated at the right hand at the throne of God. He did that for the joy set before him. He knew he would, through this, redeem us. Jesus saw such tremendous value in us that he created us, and then he pursued us, and then he redeemed us, and then he renewed us, and he sanctifies us, he awaits us, he is being glorified in us, and he will be even more significantly glorified in us in heaven. And he saw something that he wanted to redeem. Back in Matthew 13, if you were here a few months ago, I talked about in Matthew 13 the parable, the story of the treasure in the field. That's a story of redemption. There's this field, and a guy knew there was treasure in it, so he bought the field for the treasure that was in it. He redeemed the field. So when he bought the field, yeah, he got the treasure, but he got everything else in the field too. He got all the weeds and the trash and the bramble and the barrenness. He got all the stuff when he purchased the field. But he didn't buy it for those things. He bought it for the treasure. See, and when Christ redeems us, he gets all of us. Right? All the good, all the bad, what good there might be. But he takes that, but he saved us for the treasure that is there. And that should bring us joy that he would redeem us and see us in that sense. God redeemed that field because of the treasure in it, and it brought him joy. So on a practical note regarding redemption, if God redeems us, and he does, what should we be doing then toward each other? Let us be redeemed to each other in this sense. And I get it, right? Look, I have no doubt there's plenty of people here this morning in this room who you've been wronged. I get it. You've been wronged by the church. Well, the church building doesn't do anything. It's the people in the church. And maybe you've experienced great sorrow, great pain, great loss, great betrayal by someone who also claimed the name of Jesus. And I understand that this morning. You feel that. You've been wronged. But the thing is this, what Jesus is telling us is, okay, that happens, but don't let it steal his joy. Don't let it steal the joy that he gives you, because you could still have joy in him. Right? Don't think, well, I just can't have joy, I guess. Because what had happened is we connected two things together, life's circumstances, the joy of the Lord, that should not be that should be independent of each other. This is why you have to trust God and find your greatest joy in him. Right? To be sure, there is joy in people and in relationships and in the experiences of this world. The Bible would tell us that. But even when those things don't bring us joy or actually would take away the joy of this world, God is still sovereignly at work, even through the hurtful, the bad actions of others. You gotta always remember, and what can give you joy and help you have joy is understanding how God sovereignly works. In Genesis 50:20, right, we're reading here the end of a story of Joseph and his brothers, and things have come full circle, and his brothers, like in the best episode of Undercover Boss ever, okay, they think that they have no idea that Joseph is this Egyptian prime minister they're speaking with, and he takes the mask off, and they're like, Joseph's, these guys are like, we're in so much trouble. And Joseph looks at them, and look at this, and let this sink in your heart and in your mind. You planned evil against me. Look, I wish I could say, that's not our story. I've never had anybody plan evil against me. You've certainly never had anybody plan evil against you. But no, we live in a broken world and we feel it, and people have done that. So he says, you planned evil against me. God planned, used, worked it for the good, for good to bring about the present result, the survival of many people. How in the world is God so amazing that he can take the sinful, evil decisions of mankind and still somehow create joy and good and help from this? Like, that blows my mind. I can understand God's sovereignty to a point, but like somehow when God even works through that, and you know, when you look at the story of Joseph, do you think it brought Joseph joy that his brothers were going to kill him? Remember that? They were going to kill him. And they're like, that's too easy. Let's sell him into slavery. Let's let him suffer his whole life. So then God blesses him in Potiphar's house. Then he gets lied about and he gets thrown in jail. I doubt that brought him a lot of joy. But eventually, he's faithful and he gets his chance. And that leads to this verse we just read. See, someone upsets you, and what happens is, as believers, we are so often like, someone upsets us, and to the bottom of the list they go. Or maybe even off the list they go. Now, God has called us to redeem things. We're coming out of a time where, look, everybody was trying to best navigate an unprecedented event in time period as we've been through COVID. And we can look back and we can realize and acknowledge, yeah, mistakes were made by everybody, but people going through it, man, everybody's just trying to do the best they can at that time, trying to honor one another. And look, God redeems and says to move forward, and he calls us to do the same. You can't, holding on to the past, those hurts especially, and then living as though you're a present and future victim, right? That doesn't help you have joy. That's why God calls us to move on and redeem those things. And like Jesus, you pay a price to forgive and move on and redeem. But he did it for what? For joy. And for us too, if we are in the redeeming business, yeah, it demands a price, it demands a cost, it demands forgiveness. But as Jesus modeled for us, it's worth it. So our job is not to see people as they are or identify them by their past. Our job is to see who people can be in Jesus Christ, what they can be in the grace of Jesus, the power of the gospel and the Holy Spirit in him. And what joy we have, what joy we should be marked by as believers, understanding this. Has the Lord redeemed you, man? And speak it out. I'm going to read here two verses in closing, and then we'll have the worship team come forward and the ushers. C.S. Lewis, one of the other statements he made a lot of really good statements regarding joy. C.S. Lewis said, "Praise is the mode of love which always has some element of joy in it." I want you to think this. Praise is the mode of love which always has some element of joy in it. We're going to read from Psalm 107 and then Revelation chapter 5. So read with me here. Ready? "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies." And then we see the end result of all this. When at the time, when it's all going to be, I love this passage in Revelation that should bring us the already not yet joy. All right, let's read this together. Ready? "And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have been made a kingdom and priest to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.'" Amen and amen. Worship team and ushers, if you'd go ahead and come forward. Lord, I pray that this room would always be full of joy. God, we live in a world full of sorrow. We live in the brokenness of it. We see it. But man, Lord, forgive us for when we gather as believers and we have anger and we have frustration. We have animosity, resentment, all these things that marks the world. God, our meetings together on Sundays, our home groups, our Bible studies, well, how they should be marked with joy if we just realize at a base level what you've done for us. You have done great things. God, would you just mark this place? Would Living Hope be full of living joy? Would us, just as your children this morning, would we leave here today just realizing what you've done for us? You redeemed us. You didn't have to do that. You chose us. You didn't have to do that. You've placed your blessings on us. You didn't have to do that. You are working for your glory and are good, and you didn't have to do that. Lord, we're so quick to forget, and you're so patient toward us. God, would you at this time of all times to have joy during the Advent Christmas season, God, would you just please, look, Lord, if somebody here this morning, if this is hard for them, if they're struggling to find joy, would you just lift up their soul this morning? Would you just be their strength, please? I know you love them, and I know you care, and you want your kids to be joyful in you. So, Lord, we need that. All of us need that at some times, some more than others. So would you just help us with that, Lord? Help us to just stop trying to force joy in our lives. That's not joy. Let us rest in you, realizing that you have redeemed us. And we celebrate that. We love you, Lord, and pray this in your name. Amen.